You see, so I was trying to say, explain. People say that, look, it's where, you understand, that this place is fertile. No, where in that sense is not what the Bible is not the correct analysis. Where is as contrasting flesh from spirit. He that sows to the flesh. What does it mean to sow to the flesh? Two people can be given to the same ministry. Two people can be given to the same orphanage. Two people can be given to the same people in need. And one is sowing to the spirit and the other is sowing to the flesh. The one that is sowing to the flesh has been taught that give so you can get. What do you need? I need a new car. So you have to go to a good place and sow so you can receive a good car. So you say, all right, I'm not going to sow recklessly. I'm going to look for where the ground is good. So he looks for that place and they are doing good work. So he gives so he can get a good car. He sowed to the flesh. That seed was to the flesh. Why? Because the flesh is going for self-preservation. The flesh is going for what I can get. Do you get my point? But what is sowing in the spirit? Sowing to the spirit. It is simple. Sowing to the spirit does not mean before I sow, I pray over the money. Sowing to the spirit is motivation. Why am I giving? I have been blessed so that I will be a blessing. Are you following that? That is sowing to the spirit. Oh, these people need this money. And God has blessed me to be able to do it. That is sowing to the spirit. You are getting my point? Opportunity has been given to me again to do good. That is sowing to the spirit. That is sowing to the spirit. I told you before, that is not a difficult thing. It's very simple and practical. Talking about being led by the spirit, walking by the spirit. For Christians, the world, you see it even in business. One day a man came to Nigeria to come and speak, a successful young black American entrepreneur or business executive came from the U.S. I listened to the man, he came to Nigeria to speak. I listened to him. Then he made a statement. I said, no, this is not right. Good enough, he was not a preacher, so it doesn't upset me much if somebody who's not a preacher talks nonsense. Because nobody is going to believe you anyway, you know what I'm saying? It's a worry when you're a preacher and we're supposed to believe you. And he said, never love the company. One of the principles of success, of climbing the corporate ladder, he said, never love the company because the company can't love you back. He said, never love the company because the company can't love you back. And he explained that, in summary, what he meant was that if the company is in distress and it looks like they are going to go down, you better bail out before you go down with them. By the time I finished this to the man, I said, listen, your success outwardly can never make the word of God of no effect before my eyes. Listen to me. The doing of good sometimes is wearing. You know, like it makes you tired. It wears you out. It can wear you out. And the commandment of God is, don't get tired. Anywhere you are walking you can't love, please stop walking there. Did you hear what I said? Anywhere you're walking and there is no love for the place there, don't mind that man. I know he's a successful young man, but he's lying to you. He's not God. He's not the word of God. Tells you don't love a company because the company can't love you back. I love a company because God said, wherever I'm walking, I should do it as unto the Lord. Who cares whether they can love me back? Here, like Jesus said, you have heard. Don't love the company because the company can't love you back. But I say unto you, love the company because in loving the company, you are loving thy Lord. Because anywhere you walk, the Bible says, do it as unto the Lord. You get the point I'm making? Listen. I'm talking about the difference between the world and Christianity and the church and children of God. They do things because of what they can get. Once a man, I told you the story a few weeks ago here also. It was a member of the board of my institution, all right? The federal institution where I work. And one day, I was talking with the hospital PRO. He said he had not seen this man in a while. So I was just asking, how is the man? He said, well, he hadn't seen him in a while. Then one day, he now saw him. That, sir, you have not been attending our board meetings. And the man said to him, well, the man had gotten involved in another political scene in the country, all right? Not too far away from where we are right now. And there was a big man there. So this man asked him, sir, we have not been seeing you in our board meetings. And he made a statement. He gave an Igbo proverb, which I can't repeat. Of course, I couldn't even cram it. You understand what I'm saying? But what he meant is that, why are you traveling to go and fish when there's fish in the river in front of your house? Is there something like that? That why, you know? So like the fish where I am right now is big. I'm eating well. That's what he was trying to say. And I said, that is the mentality of most people today. It's a normal thing with unbelievers. It's good. But it's painful when it's a Christian talking like that. That is, I'm occupying an office. It is what I am going to get. That's the primary thing in my mind. That is what the Bible calls sowing to the flesh. Sowing to the flesh doesn't mean I stole. Do you get my point? You know, I told that one of the major problems in Christianity today is that Satan has given us substitute sins. What did I call it?
Substitute
sins. That is, he gives you something that's a sin. So just don't do this one and you're okay. Then you do the evil one. The bad one, but you feel very righteous. You know the one that's going on right now? Once you remove your weave on, your Brazilian hair, your makeup, and your jewelry, you are going to heaven. Is that not the current one now? Hopefully you should be able to get the tracts. It's ready. I titled it, who is going to hell? So you now see adulterers, fornicators, liars, cheats, lazy, unbelieving cowards who remove their hair, their fake hair, wipe away the makeup, and they think they are going to heaven. What am I going to explain? People do the real sins, but they say, because I don't smoke, I'm a good Christian. That's what I mean by substitute sins. There is no Sunday that I'm not in church. I'm a church worker. I dress very decently. My blouse is up to the neck, and the skirt is under my shoes. I'm a good Christian. But if I want to make a choice of whether I should leave where I'm working now for the next place where I may be working, all I'm thinking about is the pay better? No, that is not against Christianity. As long as I don't smoke. I change my jobs recklessly, not asking myself how much. One brother asked me once, he said, this place where he's working is about to leave. And he said something that the major problem he has is that he hasn't trained anybody. He has had his own business. But the issue is, I said, he couldn't just walk away because he had to train somebody first. That is how Christians reason. In fact, the problem he was having was conflict of interest. So he talked to me, how do I handle it? I said, the simple way to handle many things is just to be open about it. Go and tell your boss. Sit down with him, discuss with him. He may get angry and fire you. I said, but that is a simple way to handle it. I'm running an issue here. Many people don't care. One day I was discussing with someone those days in Lagos. Said the quickest way to move, that was the bankers used to move recklessly. Now, they know they agree move recklessly because while moving, you may not be able to land. You move anyhow now, you understand my point? And then when they practice LIFO, first out. Now you go understand that time. So guys, they careful now. Movement now. In fact, these days people move for lower pay self. If they think that those days when I was in Lagos, they said no, the quickest way to go up is just be moving. So here, you are a senior officer, Then that one you become assistant manager, stay there 1 year. You go to the place, next place, you're deputy manager, stay there 1 year. Then next time they offer you manager. Then one day just do, they say, too many banks, we need consolidation. Everybody going to join. Then the bank said, I say, we're too plenty. So I cutting. The movement stopped. Listen, the word of God is settled forever. Amen?
Amen.
It is. It's settled forever. Obeying it is the safest way to be safe. It's the surest way to be sure. No matter what it looks like now. Being led by the Spirit. And please, I hope you're following my point. Please, I need to get that thing get it out there for people to understand. Being led by the Spirit doesn't mean I went to pray. God, should I move? Should I not move? David prayed. Said, should I pursue them? Will I pursue? Will I overtake? Will I not overtake? Listen, number one way God leads you is by teaching you a regular word. His regular word. Number one way he leads is by the knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. Do you get my point? There are things that God doesn't even want to discuss. You just got a job last week. You signed a deal with them. They made you, like they did, an assistant manager. The other bank opens down the road the following week. And they say that, come over. We'll pay you more and make you deputy manager. And you say, God, should I take? Should I not take? Let me tell you simply, you're a thief. Is it possible for God to want me to take? Yes. In that case, I'd better come and stop you on the road and say, oh boy, you must take. Don't even approach him in prayer about it. There are things you should not even pray about. Why? It doesn't just make spiritual sense. You're undependable. You have been tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Such a person will never receive anything from the hand of the Lord. It's clear. You don't pray about such things. Come on, you signed a contract just yesterday. Then somebody has opened another bank down the road because he offers a bigger position. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. I was analyzing with my wife again yesterday about the meaning of the word vanity. Solomon said, we pursue all these things. He said, I pursued them. I found that they were what? Vanity upon vanity. He said it was like chasing after what? The wind. I began to write a revelation down on what it means to pursue the wind. If the wind blows on you, is it good or is not good? It's good. It's abundantly good. Good breeze on your body is good. But if you pursue it, you are mad. Can you see the difference? That is, if wind is good blowing, we sit down there, remove our chair, and say, wow. So your wife and you say that, man, that wind was good. What do we do? Let's run after it. They will bring you in for prayers. You're getting what I'm making. So you see, what makes the difference between what is a blessing and what is vanity is whether you ran after it or it came on you. So Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. That's what they call common sense. That's common knowledge. And walking by them is called walking, being led by the Spirit. People are praying, God, shall I take it? That is a Balaamic request. You know what you call Balaamic request? That is, you want to take it. The money is good. When Balak was like a head of state, a king. And Balaam began to pray. Balaam knew. No, read his scriptures. It was clear what was right. Balaam said, number one, he said, curse these people for me. I've heard about them. And the God that speaks to me said to me, they are my people. They cannot be cursed. So go away. Then they doubled the money. Then suddenly prayer point came up again. Listen, money can be tempting, true of us. But there's a way we pray it as Christians. We'll go and pray and say, Lord, this money is tempting. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It's not, Lord. I've been thinking about it. Peradventure, the basic thing was that the man wanted to go. He wanted to go. Why? He lusted after money. his name has become a curse till today. Because in Revelation, God talked about Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel. Nobody will name his son Balaam today. So by the time they finish, their name is anathema. Like I was saying the other day, you know, Judas was a good name until Judas came on the scene and took the name. Now, to bear the name Judas now, war. Somebody comes and say, good morning, sir. Would like to work with the ministry. I say, what's your name? Say, Judas. I say, Israel, come. He's Israel, please come. You see, right now, there are no vacancies. The Lord is not talking to us. You know, Christian, we like to hide behind the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Say, praise God. We shall pray until the Lord begins to speak about the matter. Right now, the Lord is not speaking yet. The simple thing is that, oh boy, Judas, there's one ministry next door. If like I say, they are looking for who will betray them and crucify them. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What's the point I'm making? It is not about praying, Lord, shall I go, shall I not go? Balaam knew these people were blessed. Balaam knew that the curse would not work against them. Balaam knew that he could not even pronounce a curse upon people that are blessed already. There is no leading of the Spirit that could have made him go. The real leading. But because he sought to go, we've read the Bible enough to know that God can allow you to be deceived. For a long time, I wondered, why would God say to Balaam, go? And then an angel will try and kill Balaam. Think about it. You know, the way they walk in heaven, sometimes you wonder whether they are a kingdom divided against themselves. No, really. Look, think about it. God said, don't go. Then Balaam came. The God on duty yesterday was on break. So another God was there waiting for Balaam. Is that not how it sounds? Then one angel from heaven got there and said, I'm going to kill you today. Then another one opened the eyes of the donkey. Because the donkey know they see normally angels. Then somebody must have opened the eyes of the donkey and said, look, look, look. And the donkey saw and began to move away. And the angel said, I would have killed you were it not that your donkey moved away. One God said, go. Another God said, don't go. One angel said, I will kill you. Another one said, please don't kill him. Don't they look divided? That is what we always make heaven look when we are covetous. That is it. We cause confusion. The Bible says one thing. The leading your spirit says another. It wasn't God that was the confusion. It was Balaam. Balaam, God was clear. There is no going. Very clear. Then when Balaam came back, and God said, you want to be deceived? Let him be deceived. He wants to hear go, so he heard go. God never wanted him to go. And that was why the angel was planted to destroy him. Then for one reason or the other, God had mercy. Balaam was trying to be led by the Spirit. I'm assuming it's a Pentecostal. He wants to pray about what the Spirit is already clearly leading him about. To walk by the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit. Number one way, child of God, hear it, is a simple knowledge of what is right and what is wrong according to the Word of God. Not according to your village traditions. Not according to what your friends think. You must understand that. I'm not talking about what your friends think is right. It's just what the Word of God says is right. How am I led by the Spirit? I walk by that. That's what it means. It does not mean at all, I prayed until my spirit began to speak. You heard me say it? Your spirit can speak. I know. My own spirit has spoken before. I am just saying, that's not what that scripture talks about. I said something earlier, let me quickly balance it, because sometimes people wonder, what are you talking about? I said, a Christian should not practice how to hear God. And I say it again, please don't bother practicing it. It's going to generate confusion in your life. What should I practice? How to obey the written Word of God. That one on your laps there, that one on your phone, that one on your tab, that one on your computer, the Holy Bible, Genesis down to Revelation, the understanding that God has given you by it, all right? How to walk by that is what you need to practice and pray about. What about when God wants to speak? He will shout until you hear. People say you have to be sensitive. The Holy Spirit must not be ruffled. Any little movement, you will be grieved. According to Corey Blake. According to Corey Blake. Corey Blake said, what? I don't believe you people are saying that. Any little thing. So if when he wants to speak to you, he must be absolutely silent. Your heart will stop beating. So the Holy Spirit can speak. No, you know, I watched a program actually that American, that, well, not American. It was an American program though. But a marksman, you know, snipers and marksmen, sharpshooters, that they only shoot in between heartbeats. When they want to shoot, they fix on the target, the heartbeat, they know. Then that short period before the next beat comes, that's when they fire. So that the heartbeat doesn't shake their hand. So you see, that's how we hear the Holy Spirit. That's sometimes that's the impression we're given. You'll be perfectly still. Early in the morning. Hold still, nobody talks. The clock must not tick. Why? The God that cannot shout is about to talk. The voice of the Lord is like many waters. I hope you've read that one before. When he has to shout, he will shout. He shouted until Samuel got the point. I hope you're getting the point. He came, Samuel. Samuel said, who's that? That sounds like Eli. That voice is a bit different, but the only person in this house right now is Eli. He ran there. You called me. I won't said no. He went back to sleep. Samuel. He came back. You called me. He said no. Samuel said, no. You called me. What's all of this play? Okay, I don't they grow. All this, you know. He said, okay, next time it happens, just say like this. That is, God shouted until Samuel heard. People have said to me before that when the Holy Spirit wants to speak, you have to know because your life may depend on it. That is one thing I don't believe. I know it sounds funny that I don't believe it, but I don't believe it. If there's a bomb under that seat, one Boko Haram guy snuck inside here, kept the bomb there, and I know, and you don't know. You speak only Igbo, I speak only Yoruba. You speak Swahili, I speak only Latin. But I love you. When I say to you, and you say, huh? And I know we have 15 seconds to go. I shout again, then you say, what are you saying? I say, you know, I check my clock. 10 seconds to go. Don't you think I will abandon the language? I will physically rush you. I will drag you. Then when you hear goes out there, say, oh, was that what you were saying? What difference does it make that we speak the same language or we don't speak it? People think, you think God always say, we must have a conversation. God is not Alexander the Great who sent everybody to go and learn his language before he talked to them. And that's what Alexander the Great used to do. Before you talk to him, you learn Koine Greek. He didn't have time to learn your language. He didn't have time for interpreters. So you go and learn his language if you want to talk to him. That's not God. God knows, in fact, and he knows the language you speak. I don't know how many of you have seen Kung Fu Panda. There are some films you should watch. When they tried to teach Po, what is his name again? Anyway, the panda. They try. Finally, they found out that, okay, the way to try is to toss food up. That wants to toss food up, the guy will only get an anointing. Oh, catch the food. So when the man wants to chase something, even he now knew, he would do like this, convert it into food in his mind. And that, unction will just come upon him. If Master Chief knows that, how much more God in heaven? What God does not tolerate is disobedience of heart. If the recorded word, they offer it to you, you don't take it. No matter how fine-tuned your ear is, you will hear deception. The prophets that prophesied for Ahab, they heard deception. Even though they knew how to hear from the Spirit, and they thought it was the Spirit of God. Is that not clear? Is that not clear? Why are we pretending like I have to practice how to hear God? No, you need to practice how to obey the recorded word. And if you have not been here in the last few Tuesdays, please go and get the series. Prayer and personal purification. That was what we talked about. How you pray yourself into obedience. How you pray yourself away from temptation. How you pray until you obey the word of God. That's what you need to practice. Not how to hear any whisperations. When God wants to talk to you in a supernatural way, he knows how to. He uses all kinds of methods. It's a heart that is obedient that matters. The heart that wants to obey. Many people, actually what I wanted to preach about today, all right? Good enough, I can start it now, then we'll finish it next time. It's the lover of God. That is what it means to be a lover of God. I think I wrote a sermon about it long ago. And so you can get to our website, you get the message titled Lover of God. That's what I wanted to talk about. I'll start it now, then we'll finish it next time. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That is what you need to practice. Loving God with all your heart. Remember what Jesus said? Let's just read this one. I begin to close with it. John chapter 14. Let me just start from verse 23. The Lord Jesus was answering the second Judas in the ministry, not the Iscariot one. If you read verse 22. After I asked the question, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we, that is the Father and I, will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Let me just stop there, please. Let's read again just for emphasis. The Lord said, this is how you know somebody who loves me. He doesn't run to church. He does not pray plenty. That is, these are not the things that characterize the fellow who loves me. What characterizes that person is that he keeps my word. He obeys my commandment. He said, when he does that, the Father will love him. And I and the Father will come to him and make our abode with him. But if anyone doesn't love me, how you know is that he does not keep my word. It is not how the fellow gives to me. Let me just say this. It's not how the fellow pays me attention. It is that the fellow keeps my word. I want to talk about today is the issue of loving God. Because what is lacking today, one of the major things is people don't love God. They use God. They come to church and God is a blessing God. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, it is like, it shall be well. You will get that husband. You will get that wife. You will have that child. You will have that money. You will have that healing. And that's what people come to hear. But the heart that loves God, all right, is not there. How you know the heart that loves God is that obedience. Now, two things, please. It's not just obeying the word. It is that the fellow loves the word and waits for it. I don't know whether you get my point. That this is not just, you know, last time I talked about minimal obedience. It's not just about, I've heard the word and I've obeyed it. It's more of, I have heard the word, that word is good for me. Do you get my point? So I obey it. And when I've not heard the word, it's that I know that something is missing yet in my life, and I watch out and seek for that word until I get it. That's a person who loves God. That is what we need to practice, not how to hear a voice. Please, are you getting my point? That is what we need to practice. Such a person, God, now that's why that's what I was saying before. I just remember that then I said, let me just initiate this. We'll finish it next time. Such a person, God knows how to talk to him or her when he has to say things that are not written in the Bible. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. I think it is a misplaced priority in the teachings, or in some of the teachings in Christianity, to start emphasizing to people how to practice to hear God. What we should do is to make sure we love God and we have a heart that obeys. Once we are like that, don't worry. God knows where they sell megaphone. Do you understand my point? If he knows you will not hear, he knows how to speak through signs. He does. He understands those things. I've heard people say, when they're talking, teaching Christianity, that modern Christianity, that God does not lead by signs and by wonders. One man, I respect his teachings, but that one I disagreed. He said, some people say, God, give me a sign. If I'm supposed to go out, let that man's door be open. He said, hey, listen, that man can open or close his door the way he likes. So you can't use it as a sign. I said, no, I don't agree. If God wants to use that door as a sign, he will tell that man, if you open that door today, or the man will go there, he will open the door, and God will close it. Or he will get there, he wants to open the door does not open. After all, the Bible says that any door that God closes, no man can open. He says, it's a man's house. No, the earth is the Lord's. What do you want to tell me that God cannot close somebody's door to give me a sign? He can. He can. The issue is not whether God can give sign through doors that are open or closed. He can. They said, no, it is not right to give God a fleece. Say, God, if you want me to do this, let this one happen. Listen, there is nothing wrong with giving God a fleece. He said, you say God can answer fleece. You know what they call fleecing God? Fleeces. Like, okay? Not like what Gideon did. Gideon said, God, if you want me to, if you are the one speaking, I'll put this fleece here. Let rain fall on it. It came next day. Everywhere was dry. That one was wet. So he squeezed it. It's all right. Lord, if you are the one, let it fall elsewhere. Let that one be dry. Because there's no problem. Water gathered everywhere. That one was dry. You don't blame God. You don't blame Gideon. Gideon had been terrified. I don't know whether you get the point. He had been oppressed for a long time. He was trying to obey. He just wanted to make assurance doubly sure. Like we say. So God granted it to him. People now say, you see, in the New Testament, God doesn't do that. It's not true. God does it in the New Testament. If you go to the Old Testament, how many times did he do it? It's not only Gideon. He said, now God leads by your spirit. Bros, the spirit that God leads by is the Bible. What did I say? No, no, that's not what I said. I said, the spirit that God leads by is the scriptures. Let's put it like that. Say it.
The spirit that God leads by is the scriptures.
That's it. That is it. Are you saying God can use outward signs? Yes, if necessary. Why does not do it often? Because it's not necessary. Most of the time, too much disobedience in the heart. So God doesn't bother talking. Do you get the point? That's the major problem. Somebody wants to pray. God, there are these two sisters that I like. Which one should I marry? But God said, have you noticed, Joker, three of them are from your local government. You didn't catch that. You have used iniquity to exclude every other person. Because if they are not from your local government, they cannot be the will of God. You now bring three pictures and say, God, which of these three should I marry? God said, you ain't talking to me. If you want to talk to me, go and bring the picture of that sister from Zamfara. Put it there. That sister from Botswana, put her picture there. Gather all the pictures. Don't use tribal elimination for me first. You now come and say, which one of these three that are from my all the compounds around my father's zone? That's my will. God said, I ain't talking to you. Some people now come and say, God does not lead by signs. He doesn't listen. He just that you don't qualify for it. You are not led by the Spirit. You have not discerned the Spirit of Christ. If you had discerned the Spirit of Christ, you would not have brought the pictures of three women from the three compounds around your father's zone, asking God to choose from your nepotic and your ignorant selection. You don't do that. You see? You are catching what I'm saying? And I say, God does not lead by signs. He can lead by signs. If you deserve the sign, most people don't deserve it. They don't. They don't have a heart of obedience. Say, God, which one of these three brothers it looks more like? He said, have you seen all of them are very rich? They are professionals. They are all earning very well. And I said, God, which one is my own? No, some people are very spiritual. Their own is, I must marry a pastor. Say, lie, lie, marry a businessman. This is what you're talking. So you go and give God three pictures of very handsome pastors. That one is Judas. You don't know now. How will you know? And God is not going to tell you. If you harass him long enough, a lying spirit will just come on that Judas. His picture will just be shining. That's it. You don't marry Judas with that. Please, I hope you are getting my point. The reason why God does not lead by signs, by fleeces, by outward things, is not because it's New Testament or it's old. The advantage of the New Testament is that we have the Spirit of Christ that helps us to discern what the Bible calls the will of God. We look at that will of God as if, should I go? No. The will of God, first of all, is the Scriptures. We understand the Spirit behind the law. That's the advantage of the New Testament. We have that Spirit of Christ. So we do what is right naturally. We not only do it, we enjoy it. Listen, it was the New Testament when they replaced Judas. Did they know you cast lots? They did. But they first used the selection according to what they learned from the Lord Jesus Christ. Just what Jesus, listen, I'm sure of this. He had taught them that everyone who carried this thing with you must have been with us from the beginning. So when they had to replace Judas, they just chose those who were with them. But they were two. So they said, let's cast lots. People said the Holy Spirit had not yet come. Anyway, let's not go there. The Lord is good. When God had to lead Saul, he appeared to him in visions and dreams. But Saul had a commission to go everywhere preaching the gospel. That was what was meant by being led by the Spirit. He was going everywhere according to that commission upon his life. So that when God said, don't go to that place, the Lord had to restrain him. Please, I hope you got my point.
Yes, sir.
I began to speak about it. We'll finish it next time. What it means to be a lover of God. Most people today, they just want to use God. They don't love him. Bless me, or by December, I go back into iniquity. Have you heard that before? Yes, I've seen it before. I've seen all kinds. I'll say, God, I'm giving you till next week. If you don't come forward with breakthrough, I'm going to join a gang. You're laughing. I said that people do it. I knew a girl. Well, I didn't know her personally, but a friend of mine who knew her direct. So it's not somebody who told somebody that this. In fact, the fellow who told me was my best man when I got married. Many of you have met him before. All right? He knew the girl. That one prayed one deep prayer one day and said she wants to marry a half caste. You know, the kind of prayers that God will be looking at you say. I will soon beat somebody and they will understand what it means to be God. If you were God, will you answer? No, let's be honest. Will you answer that kind of prayer? So God didn't answer her. She asked, after that, she started sleeping with every guy. I'm not kidding about that. And I said, please go and tell her. And God said, I'm in heaven. How does your iniquity affect me? You will die. The soul that sinned it, it shall die. Not the God of the soul that sinned it. Have you noticed that? Not the God of the soul that sinned shall be in distress. The soul that sinned shall die. No, I'm telling you a real story. Remember the celebrated joke of Taisho Larin? You don't believe God said because he asked God for something. God didn't give him, so God does not exist. I said, you are an invisible father because there are many things you have asked your children for. And your children asked you for, you too did not give. I know another one. A woman said that by December, I'm giving God to December. If it doesn't bring a husband, I shall get pregnant. And you know God doesn't take such challenges. And by December, God said, all right, now that I have refused to bring the husband, I'm waiting for the IG of police to come and arrest me. And the IG of police did not come. By the following year, she was pregnant out of wedlock. And God said, the soul that sinned it shall die. Not the God of the soul that sinned it. Many people come to church, they just want to use God. God, you bless me, otherwise I will sin. And I know when I sin, it will pain you. And God said, when I kill you, it will pain you. And he will last, last. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Listen, we need to love God. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. He said, all the law and the prophet hang on two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And he said, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I hope you've gotten my point today. If you're blessed, they shout in an amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow down our heads. Let's just give the Lord thanks.